This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It is such a pleasure to be joined by Dr. Gail Melson from Purdue University in Indiana. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Thank you. Now, look, there are many benefits to having a pet, and particularly on the back of Christmas, a lot of children may have petitioned their parents to get one and are still trying to, you know, win the fight. What are some of the key benefits from your perspective of having a pet?
Well, a pet really becomes a member of the family, and there are many potential benefits. I think one of them is companionship, a sense that you have a new best friend, at least potentially. And there's quite a bit of research that, especially when children are feeling stressed, they often feel comforted by the presence of a pet, and even talking to a pet about their troubles and their secrets. And of course, children understand perfectly well that the animal does not understand what they're saying, but they still feel validated, they feel heard and understood. So I think that sense of emotional support, it's a potential, because not every child establishes that, but that's a clear potential benefit. I think the second thing that is a potential benefit for children is the opportunity to take care of something else that's more helpless often than they are and dependent on their care. And children learn about the needs of a creature different from them. That stimulates empathy. And also, they learn some skills in caring for another. And we often don't give kids many opportunities to do this while they're growing up. But we certainly expect when they're adults, they become parents or caregivers of other children or the elderly, that they will step up to the plate, as we say in the States, and they will become effective, sensitive nurturers. And yet, surprisingly, there's not very much that happens during childhood to prepare us adults for that.
Yeah.
And there is some feeling that maybe pets can at least potentially provide that.
And one of the other interesting points to note is pets helping with allergies. I mean, a lot of kids are developing allergies at the moment, increasingly so. How are pets actually helping to prevent allergies?
Well, there is this scientific hypothesis called the hygiene hypothesis. And I do want to say that I think the evidence is strong but not definitive, so there's still some medical debate. But the hygiene hypothesis says that in the first year of life, particularly, when children have exposure to a variety of potential allergens, they can build up immune responses to those. And so pets and the allergens that might come from, the fur of a cat or that sort of thing can, in fact, be built up by that early exposure. The way I understand the hygiene hypothesis is that if one gets a pet for a child later in life, in older childhood or adolescence, after they've already developed allergies, it really is not beneficial. So
okay.
It has to do with the exposure early in life.
Yeah, so if you're considering getting a first pet then perhaps, whether it's obviously a lot of people have dogs, a lot of people have cats, what makes for a good first pet? Like maybe a fish, or is a hermit crab more suitable?
Well, again, I think it depends very much on the individual child. Some children really are not ready for even supervised care of a pet until they're much older than other children. But certainly what might be called a pocket pet, a hamster, a gerbil, something like turtles in a terrarium, fish can work well, because the needs for properly caring for them, although they are substantial, they're more manageable for young children. And again, I would emphasize that when a pet comes into the family, I think there are two things to keep in mind. One is, it should be for the natural life of that animal. And very often, impulse buying of pets can be a problem, because if there are issues that arise, we are dealing with a lot of abandoned animals that are turned into shelters. And I generally do not recommend getting a pet as a sort of special occasion, the Christmas present or the birthday present, but rather approaching it in a more deliberate way, thinking about it as bringing in another family member.
Yeah.
And in doing that, it really takes, you know, more deliberation, more doing some research, maybe, you know, visiting areas where you can observe different animals, and being clear that this is going to be, you know, a one-way street. The animals coming and staying,
Because there's always going to be a bit of family debate around it. Who's going to clean up after it? Who is going to be on yard patrol when, you know, the inevitable happens outside? And even despite those disagreements that do happen, pets can actually be really good for family bonding. Is that because it opens up discussions?
Yes, it does. And it also, it's not only discussion, but there's some very interesting research that indicates that when there's a pet, even just in the room, not necessarily even interacting, that it becomes a focus of attention where it can be a subject that the family members can now talk about. It can be a source of humor. Very often, you know, sort of the funny things that a puppy does or that another pet does can help bond by releasing, you know, laughter and a kind of a positive mood. And sometimes even parents and children can talk about things that are difficult to talk about, but do it indirectly because you're speaking about the pet. And there's some research to show that. You might not be able to talk about the death of grandma, but talking about what does it mean when a pet dies can be a way, a little window, into beginning to grapple with the idea that living beings do die.
Okay, so if we have convinced people enough that a new pet is a good idea, perhaps, well, how do you know what pet is right for your household?
Well, I think there are so many different factors. You know, like any good psychologist, I'm going to say it depends. you know, clearly dogs that need a lot of exercise, you've got to think about your living situation, your free time to go on those long walks. The financial area is often not thought of. Pets have considerable expense associated with them, so it's really good, I think, up front to think about what is this going to cost, and that includes medical care, because we often, you know, get a very cute looking pet without thinking that there could be illnesses and medical needs down the road. And again, when I get back to this idea of the family member, it's a very bad message to a child that when a pet becomes sick and the veterinarian says, my gosh, this treatment is going to cost you, and fill in the blank, money that you realize we really don't have. And therefore, we sort of turn the pet into a shelter or, you know, I don't like to use the words get rid of it, but it no longer is in the family. That's not a good message for a child. So I would say many of the things that we need to think about with you and family members, we should think about with a pet. So there's no one size fits all.
Yeah. And I guess if all else fails, we can do one of the things that I did when I was little and just get a pet rock, because it's a really good listener.
Right.
And it doesn't take up much space.
Absolutely. And, you know, human nature, we can make a pet out of so many things. And let's not forget the virtual pets that you can adopt online. There are so many now. It's not the same as a living being, but this idea of having a pet has now gotten very technological.
Yeah, it's a foot in the door. Well, Dr. Gail Nelson, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.